السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. recite درو شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. 140 days. 140 days of relentless bombing, relentless murder. 140 days of massacre. 140 days of destruction. 140 days of genocide. The death toll right now is way over 30,000. And more than 70,000 are wounded, injured, left without any medical care, any medical attention, any medical supplies. Just last night, more than 100 innocent civilians were killed. Just last night, when we thought it was all over. Nobody talks about it anymore. We don't even think about it. It stopped crossing our minds. And when someone does speak about it, we look at them in a strange way, that you're talking about something that was historic, something that happened a long time ago. Whatever happened a long time ago, it's still happening now. It's not stopped. Rather, should I say, it's intensified in many, many, many ways. And it would be very wrong of us at this stage to turn a blind eye. What about all of the efforts that have been made up until now? The sacrifices that you have made, the concern that you have shown. If it was for the cause, if it was for the suffering, if it was for the humanitarian crisis, well, that humanitarian crisis has not gone away. Rather, it has become much more dire, and the situation continues to unfold. Let's just look at the north of Gaza. At the moment, we're hearing that all the focus and the attention, it started off from the north, and then it went to the center, and then it went to the south, and now it's focusing on the Rafah border. But do you know the condition, the dire conditions in the north of Gaza? What's happening to those people? You've been hearing about 8 trucks reaching in a very limited capacity, but barely anything is reaching the people in the north of Gaza. The people in the north of Gaza are totally isolated. There is no food reaching there. There is no water reaching there. There is no medical supplies reaching there. The London College carried out a recent study in which they said that if this continues for another few months, they said that 85,000 Palestinians will die not from an airstrike due to infectious diseases. If this continues, if we allow this to continue, if we allow this to become normal, what are they saying? The 85,000, it's a large number, 85,000 Palestinians will be killed, will be martyred, not necessarily by an airstrike. Those are extra. But these are the ones that have survived the airstrikes. They will be killed and martyred. Why? Due to infectious diseases. The conditions in Gaza, as we are living in our luxuries, we are enjoying our meals, we are enjoying the warmth of our houses and the heating. Our children play and enjoy themselves. We entertain ourselves. We watch the sports, we play the sports, we entertain ourselves day after day, night after night. At this same time, we're not talking about a people in the past. We're not talking about a historic event. We are speaking now, today, as we are sitting here in the comforts of our homes. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are suffering and going through difficulty. May Allah grant them ease and afia. You might ask, how are they surviving? How are the people of the north Gaza surviving? Because the aid isn't reaching there. Water isn't reaching there. Medical supplies are not reaching there. Do you know what they eat? We are hearing reports. The people from the north of Gaza are saying, we are eating rabbit fodder. We are eating rabbit fodder. We are eating grass. We are eating hay. We find rotten pieces of bread. We try to dampen them in the rainwater and eat them. And the other thing we are eating are contaminated vegetables because of the phosphorus. They are contaminated. Now you imagine, just to survive, they are forced to eat rabbit fodder, hay, grass, rotten bread, and contaminated vegetables. Imagine the condition and imagine what this is going to cause. A young girl in Gaza, in the north of Gaza, she is pleading and making a dua. Oh Allah, please put my tummy to sleep. Oh Allah, please put my tummy to sleep. Just like you put me to sleep, can you put my tummy to sleep so I don't have the need to eat any food? This is the condition in the north of Gaza. And if this again continues, then 500,000 people are going to go through a very, very difficult time. That's severe malnutrition. The UN has said, the UN, United Nations are saying, that the famine the people of Gaza are now undergoing constitutes 80% of the global famine. They are saying these are numbers and conditions we have never witnessed in our lifetime. 80% of global famine. We know about famine in places in Africa, in Yemen, in other areas. But the conditions in Gaza are so severe that this constitutes the worst condition on planet Earth right now. And you might think, okay, Gaza is going through this. This insecurity has now spread towards the West Bank as well. In the West Bank, in the Hebron area, it's reported that so many people, 600,000 people in Hebron, are going through food insecurity. Because of what's happening, there are so many restrictions. The economy is limited. Many people haven't worked for the last 4.5 months. We've just come back from Palestine. We were there in Palestine last week. We've met with individuals face to face. We've spoken to them. These are people not from Gaza. Gaza is 3 hours away from Jerusalem. No one's going there. So we're talking about people living in Jerusalem. We're talking about people living in the West Bank. They are saying, we have never ever had to tell our landlord that we can't pay our rent this month. Alhamdulillah, they said we were fine, we had jobs. This is for the last 4.5 months. There's nothing for us. We have no work. We are struggling to put food on the table for our children. And these are people that are not even in Gaza. Imagine the people in Gaza. They're not even in Gaza. These are the people in the West Bank. 600,000 people going through food insecurity, not knowing where their next meal is going to come from. This is happening now. This is happening today as we speak. 70% of the infrastructure of Gaza has been totally destroyed. It doesn't exist anymore. And we find that something as simple as nappies, one bag of nappies in Gaza costs £50. £50, why? Because it's not available. And who has that kind of money? Mothers have been seen in Gaza washing their babies' nappies to reuse them again. How can you reuse a nappy? You know, you've used nappies. They barely last once, right? They barely last once. They're washing nappies. Some of the mothers have been forced to rip off the cloth from the tent, causing many burns to their young children, realizing that this material is not suitable. It's causing them rashes. It's causing them irritation. One mother is saying, if I cross the border into Egypt, I would only cross, why? To bring one nappy for my child. And if I get shot in the interim, because many people are getting shot just when they are going to get some food for their families. Many people are being shot when they see an aid truck and they're queuing up there. Many people have gathered, they're queuing in a line for their turn, and an airstrike comes, targeted airstrike. Remember, these are targeted attacks. Vehicles carrying people who have lost their limbs, who are amputated, and they are being transported from one place to the other. These are targeted attacks. And this continues to happen now as we are sitting here. Not to speak about those who've been arrested unjustly. Women, many women have been arrested during these times. And they have been thrown into Israeli prisons. And within these prisons, right now today, they are being beaten. They are being raped. They are being tortured. They are going through starvation. And they are going through freezing conditions. And talking about the Rafah border. So they squeezed all of the people to leave the north. And then go into the central area. And from there, they've gone to the south. And they are now by the Rafah border. Just to give you context, almost half of Gaza's population is at the Rafah border. Do you know how many people that is? That's 1.5 million people. Today, now, I'm not talking about something airy-fairy. It's very easy for an imam to sit here and talk about abstract things. It's very easy for me to come and give you a flowery talk. Do some of this, you'll get this much reward. Do you know what? It's out of time. It's not easy for me to speak on this. Because I know that even in my own congregation, I have people that when the name Palestine is mentioned, they get an allergic reaction. I know that. I know that there are people sitting here who hate the name Masjid al-Aqsa. They can't stand it. They can't stand it. But I know that if I don't do this, I'll be carrying out a great injustice. Because it seems we have forgotten. It seems we can notice, we can see. The Qunut al-Nazila has stopped in many masjids. And as individuals, when was the last time you prayed for the people of Gaza? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. When it was trendy to support Gaza and Palestine, we were all doing it. We were out in the marches. And we came back saying, that felt really good. Are you doing it because it feels good? Is that why we do things? Is that why we stand up for injustice? And to support those who are helpless? And be a voice for those who don't have a voice? Or do we do it because it's the right thing to do? It's the correct thing to do. It's the thing that is required from us. It's our obligation and duty. Remember, don't make Palestine a trend. This is not a trend. This is not a trend. For you to go and join a march today will be, I know, much more difficult than it was a few weeks ago. Because a few weeks ago, busloads of people were going. They were taking selfies. And it was a big thing, and it felt good. Now when nobody is going, this is the time you will shine if you go. This will now show who was really marching for Palestine and who was marching to fulfill their own satisfaction. May Allah give us the understanding. So at the Rafah border, you've got 1.5 million people displaced. From them, 600,000 are children. And they're living in dire conditions, plastic tents, crowded schools. You've got some schools, they're overcrowded. And many people are living on the streets. Majority of the people are sick. They are carrying infectious diseases. And majority of them have severe levels of influenza. You know, we get a little bit of a runny nose and got a flu. That's not a flu. That's not a flu. They are suffering, really, influenza. If anybody's had it, they will know what it is. And since October, 17,000 children have been orphaned. They no longer have a mother. They no longer have a father. Every single day, more than 10 children lose their limbs in Gaza. Now, today. We're not speaking about yesterday. We're speaking about something that is happening now. And on the flip side of things, the people of Gaza are people of resilience. The people of Gaza are the people of courage. The people of Gaza are the people of Himmah. The people of Gaza are the people of Iman. The people of Gaza are the people of Islam. The people of Gaza are the people who said, we will not move from our land. We will continue to resist. We will remain here. And we see in the midst of all of this horror and terror and the tyranny and the displacement and the occupation, and the genocide, in the midst of all of this, we are seeing that people are performing Salatul Jumu'ah in broken down masjids. I saw earlier today a family celebrating a birthday for their young ones in the midst of rubbles. We have seen very simple marriages being conducted in the midst of, you can hear the airstrikes, and they are still saying, no, we are going to survive. We are going to rise above this. If Allah has chosen this for us, then let it be. We are pleased with the decree of Allah. They don't sit back and think, let's not do anything now. They are trying to continue and rebuild their lives. We are seeing children playing football over their houses that are in rubbles. Quran classes are taking place. And we are seeing people trying to trade in the midst of the war that's going on. These are the people of Gaza. And they continue. I ask you a question. Is it normal for a teenager to carry his young dead brother's body in a carrier bag? Because that's what's happening in Gaza. Every single day. Every single day. You saw the images of people carrying, parents carrying the limbs of their children in carrier bags. It's still happening. It's still happening. A young teenager walks down the path which is supposed to be a safe zone. Why? His younger brother got killed in an airstrike. He didn't know what to do with him. There was no help around. There are no hospitals remaining in the area. So he puts his brother's body into a bag and he's carrying over his shoulder. Is that normal? Is that normal? If it's not normal, I ask, why have we normalized it? Why are we acting as if it's normal? Why are we acting as if nothing's happening? Why have we made it such that it's let it carry on and I'm going to carry on? It doesn't seem to affect us in any way whatsoever. Is it normal to pray janazah multiple times a day with bodies and bodies and bodies, row after row? Is that normal? That we're praying janazah, salatul janazah, and burying the deceased many times a day? Because that's what's happening in Gaza. You know, before we speak about the liberation of Palestine, before we speak about the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa, we need to first learn to liberate our minds. We need to first learn to liberate our ideologies. And go a step further. We need to learn to liberate our masjids. Wallahi, we do. A masjid is not just a place for prayer. A masjid is a social institution where we give voice to the voiceless, where you stand up for those who are dealt with in an unjust way. And if we don't do this, we are not fulfilling the rights of the masjid. Many people, they irk when they hear Palestine from the minbar. Why? Why? Ask yourself. Ask yourself. It seems there is an illness. Your hearts have become hard. What is it? Why is it that when the name Palestine is mentioned, you get an allergic reaction? Isn't this suffering? Do you think this Allah will allow this to pass and not question you and me about what's happening? Why is it that when we are going through our social media feed, it's so easy for us now just to swipe and to miss out anything that will cause us a little bit of discomfort? Watch the scenes, look at them, see them, feel the pain. Allah will reward you for that pain. This is the sense of brotherhood. We are an ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when the eye hurts, the entire body hurts. It should hurt. Let it hurt. Feel the pain. We've become so comfortable in our luxuries that we don't even allow it to reach our ears. We don't even allow it to pass by. We dismiss it quickly. Just so that we don't have to go through that slight discomfort of having to watch it. We're not even living it. But we're just saying, watch it. So He softens our hard hearts. May Allah soften our hearts. May Allah awaken us. May Allah allow us to rise to our duties. So a masjid is a social institution. There are places that amplify the voice of truth when other voices are silenced. And you know what? The massacre hasn't stopped. The massacre hasn't stopped. It continues. I ask you, how did you feel when the Ahli Baptist Hospital was destroyed? 500 Palestinians were killed in one moment. How did you feel at that time? Where's the anger gone? Where's the frustration? Where's the outcry? At that time, everybody was crying. Since then, how many hospitals have been bombed? How many people have been killed? And instead of continuing or becoming louder, we've gone quiet. We've silenced ourselves. It's as if nothing's happening. We've gone back to normal. And with Ramadan around the corner, things are going to get even more intense. And do you know what? The people of Gaza, whilst you and me eat to our fill at suhoor and iftar, on hunger, they're going to keep the fast of Ramadan. I guarantee you, they'll be fasting in the month of the Ramadan. They'll be fasting. And you and I, despite all the comforts and the luxuries, we're going to, oh, it's too hard. It's too long. It's too difficult. When's it going to end? Oh, how long to iftar? Oh, 2 hours. 1 hour left. This is a moment of reflection. This is a moment to think about doing the right thing. Again, disclaimer. As we always say every single week from the minbar, staying within the framework of the law, staying within the framework of Sharia, you know your responsibilities. You know what capabilities and capacities Allah has given to you. Utilize them for this cause. This is the time. It is now. And we will be questioned about it on the Day of Judgment. We will be questioned about it. You know, it's not just in Gaza. We've just come back, I told you last week, from Palestine. It's all over Palestine. You know, in Palestinian prisons, there are many, many females, 200 to 300 female Palestinian prisoners who are innocent. Administrative detention without any charge, without any trial. They are thrown into these prisons. Do you know the conditions of these prisons? This was way before the war as well. But let me just tell you if you didn't know. Each prisoner is allowed, a lady, she's allowed one skirt, one blouse, one pair of trousers, one underwear. That's it. And they are there for a limitless period of time. They have no breaks. They can't go out into an open area just for a break, just to walk around, just to breathe the fresh air. In each prison cell, there are 10 people. There are 10 people in each prison cell. Each person is given daily only 6 minutes to use the loo. 6 minutes. In that, you'd use a toilet, you shower, or you drink water. That's it. You are not going to get any other time. 1 hour is allocated per prison cell. And each person gets 6 minutes. And in that time, you do what you need to do. And the conditions are freezing cold. Like I said, we've just come back last week from Palestine. In the evenings, during February, January, December, it gets very, very cold. They're not allowed. There is one jacket for 10 people. Because each person's only allowed one pair of clothing. One jacket, 10 people left to huddle into a corner. And they are living these conditions every single day, on a daily basis. During the day, there is no light. The whole day, they stay in darkness in that prison. As soon as night comes, all the lights go on and there's banging music. All night, it's bright as anything. Just to make them sleep deprived. And this is happening every single day. And what do they get to eat? Either they will be given one egg or a yogurt, you can choose. 4 spoons of rice. 4 spoons of rice. And now and again, maybe a piece of chicken. And that's it. Once a day. That's it. 4 spoons of rice. And one egg or one yogurt, you can choose. And these are women. We're talking about women. We're not even talking about the men. These are women who are going through this difficulty. And let's not forget about the thousands. There are more than 8,500 innocent Palestinians still under the rubble. Imagine being a parent and pulling your child out and he doesn't have a head or doesn't have an arm, doesn't have a leg. This is the daily story which still continues and it's happening now. Let's not act as if it's not happening anymore. Let's not continue to turn a blind eye. Let's not feel uncomfortable if the imam is still talking about Palestine so many weeks in. Because I ask you, what else should I talk about? What else should we address? What do you want me to talk about? It's easy for me to talk about something else. It's easy. But this is the need of the hour. This is happening right in front of us. And if we continue to ignore, we're going to have to face the consequences. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them ease and afiyah. I conclude by mentioning that alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the month of Sha'ban. The month of Sha'ban is the gateway to the month of Ramadan. And just like when we start something like Hajj, for example, before you start your Hajj, you take a ghusl, don't you? Before you start Ramadan, you take a ghusl. Before you're going to have your nikah, you take a ghusl. Before you're going to embark on something special, you take a ghusl for a physical cleansing. Before Ramadan comes, yes, you'll be doing a physical cleansing, but we need a spiritual cleansing as well. In order to benefit from the barakat, from the spirituality and the gifts of Ramadan, Ramadan comes with its blessings. You know, the victory of Badr happened in Ramadan. We can hope for a lot in Ramadan. Ramadan is the whole month of hope. It's the month of glory. It's the month of mercy. It's the month of the rahmah of Allah. We can hope for so much in this month. However, let's not enter this month in negligence. Just like we will go through a physical cleansing, we need a spiritual cleansing so that Allah removes all of the dirt, all of the sins, all of the impurity, all of the spiritual hypocrisy that we've been going through. All 11 months, Allah has given you and me a gift, and that is Sha'ban. And in Sha'ban, He's given us a very special and an important night, which is the 15th of Sha'ban, which is happening tomorrow. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has said that the number of narrations that have been reported regarding the virtue of the 15th of Sha'ban are so numerous that a person is compelled to accept that this night has a very special virtue. You please don't get into debates about tomorrow night. Should you not? You know what? If you don't want to worship, fine, don't. Carry on watching Netflix. That's up to you. But for those that want to, who follow people like Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, even the scholar of hadith who is known to be so strict in his authorization of Sahih, Nasiruddin Albani rahimahullah, even he says that there are so many narrations that we cannot ignore and turn away from the fact that this night of 15th Sha'ban has immense virtue. Tomorrow night is going to be a night in which millions of people are going to be forgiven. This is exactly what you and I need to start the month of Ramadan in a pure way. So for this, we are holding a very special event as we do every year. Tomorrow, inshallah, Saturday, Salatul Isha is going to be at 10 past 7. I implore every one of you to spread the message. Call everybody you can, brothers, sisters, children. As always, everyone's always welcome. And attend for Salatul Isha. After Salatul Isha, we will share a few words of advice, keeping it very simple. But we will focus more on giving time for us to recite the Quran in the house of Allah. For us to collectively make some dhikr, inshallah. And engage in seeking Allah's forgiveness and making dua. Everyone's going to make an effort to attend, inshallah. This will change your Ramadan. This will change your Ramadan. You will have a very different Ramadan, inshallah. This will be a life-changing experience, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. And then Salatul Fajr on Sunday morning will be at 5:45. So according to this masjid's timetable, the Fajr begins at around 5:30. So we encourage everybody to keep a fast. It's sunnah to keep a fast in Sha'ban anyway. And if you haven't been fasting throughout the month of Sha'ban, then at least try and keep this one, because you'll get the reward. It's a blessed month. It falls under the 13th, 14th, 15th. And also, it's in the month of Sha'ban. And it's a special and a virtuous day. So along with the other virtues, you'll get the virtue as well. And it'll start gearing you up for Ramadan. So three intentions I want you to make. Number one, are you guys all going to be here tomorrow at Salatul Isha? Inshallah. Secondly, are we going to keep a fast on Sunday? And number three, the most important announcement is the Great Fajr campaign. The Great Fajr campaign has been continuing now for almost 3 years. And the purpose of it is for us to get together on a weekly basis for the cause of Masjid al-Aqsa and the people of Palestine. Now it is needed more than ever before. So we will continue this Sunday as well. Salatul Fajr is at 5:45. Open invitation to all brothers, all sisters, all children. The only difference is because most people will be fasting, this week we won't be providing breakfast. Otherwise, every other week we do. I request everyone's going to try and attend, inshallah. May Allah give us a tawfiq. Jazakumullahu khairah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.